Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Good afternoon to Dr. Sophia Mohammed.
Good afternoon, Bees, and good afternoon to everyone locked in right here to your lunchtime doctor. This is the medical program where we get to dissect some of these complex medical challenges, offer some solutions, offer the next steps, and more so, identify those red flags. This program, you get to share what's on your lunchtime plate, and let's see what health habits that you've picked up on this program that you're also sharing with your community. We take this next hour to educate, to inform, and to ensure that Trinidad and Tobago, their health, their wellness becomes optimized. I am Dr. Sophia Mohammed, here with you for the next hour.
All right, folks, and of course, our numbers for your calls, 627-3223, 625-2257, and WhatsApp for all of our first-timers, 306-1065. And of course, you could feel free to WhatsApp or message or other frequencies, and they will forward our messages straight to us. What's in our Health Plus today, Doctor?
So today, as we promised yesterday, this entire month of June is Men's Health Month. And yes, there's some medical conditions that affect both women and men, but some that are specific to men. So in today's Health Plus, we looked at, let's get into the heart of the matter. We looked at one of the precursors for heart attacks, specifically erectile dysfunction, and of course something that we've discussed right here on the Lunchtime Doctor by questions you all called in on, discussing testosterone, what can cause it to go up, what can cause it to go down. And during the course of this program, we'll chat a little bit more on those two topics.
All right, well, since we don't have any calls or any WhatsApp, oh yes, we have some WhatsApp messages coming through. Let's get straight to them. Hi, doctor. What causes, gestational diabetes while pregnant?
Great question. I'm glad someone asked that. Now, before we answer that, note on Thursdays, probably not this Thursday as it's a holiday, but every Tuesday, we have the president of the Diabetic Association of Trinidad and Tobago on a program exactly this same time with Bees, 12 to 1, geared towards diabetes topic. But let's jump into that question. Gestational diabetes is something that's very important. You see, during pregnancy, the load that's on the body, the glycemic management, can be more difficult. So when the body is not producing enough insulin, and remember, insulin is that hormone that the pancreas, one of the organs in the body that breaks down, insulin is that hormone that breaks down the sugar in the blood and allow it to be absorbed by the cells. So if the body is not producing enough insulin, then unfortunately, a pregnant mom may develop gestational diabetes. Someone who develops gestational diabetes, and it's quite common in Trinidad and Tobago, can go on to continue having diabetes and having these complications of diabetes. You see, again, during pregnancy, there are many hormonal changes, especially not just the weight gain, but the increased load of having now a new baby. And again, as we talked about, it's directly related to this insulin resistance. A question I get quite often about gestational diabetes is if persons with gestational diabetes, if they'll move on after the pregnancy, if the diabetes will be cleared, or if they may continue having diabetes. And what we do know is that as high as 50% of those who've had gestational diabetes can continue having diabetes. Now, how can one prevent that? And that is so, so key. The same things we talk about. Physical exercise, yes, even during pregnancy. Most importantly, watching what you're eating. Nutrition is so key. You know, there's this concept that we are eating for two when you're pregnant. Really and truly, you're still eating for one and you're adding about 200 extra calories per day and still maintaining healthy nutrition. So I hope that answers the question, and I hope it gives a little bit more insight into gestational diabetes.
All right, good day, Doctor. What causes people to get that shocking feeling when touching doorknobs, light switches, or car doors, especially in the morning?
So that tends to be the nervous stimulations or the synapses between your either your fingers and, of course, whatever is the object itself. You see, we actually have electrical stimulations that move between each one of the nerve endings. So at the end of the nerve cells, there's called a synapse. There's that little electrical conductivity. And the body itself can almost act like a grounding pole. That's why they say in lightning, you try to stay away from being open or touching trees or touching any sort of conductor of electricity, because then it can be conducted through the body. Keep in mind that the body itself also utilizes these electrical activity to maintain those electrical impulses through the nerve cells. So sometimes you may feel that little shock, and that's just you are now grounding that electrical, or you become part of the electrical wire system there.
All right, let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunch.
Hi, good day, Doc. I have this problem when every time I wake up from sleep, I get this itching under my skin really, really bad, and even between my legs, real bad. I don't know what it can do to help me. I listen off air.
Thank you so very much. Now, I don't know if you're diabetic or hypertensive, but we do, especially to our diabetic patients, do have them. They unfortunately present with a dermatitis, this sort of itching either under their feet, between their legs, behind the back of the knee, and it sometimes can be directly related to a fungal infection and caused by that fungal infection, or it may just be some sort of eczema. We do see a lot of eczema in this population. There are a host of over-the-counter medications, moisturizers that you can utilize, and if need be, certain antifungal or even steroidal medications. What I would suggest is you let a healthcare professional review it, because different rashes can look differently. Some can be, like we mentioned, psoriasis, eczema, dry skin, or fungal infection. Once they review it, then they're better able to prescribe something. But I do know our male population out there, they're not fans of using moisturizers. There's a host of really excellent dermatologist recommended moisturizers, and I can't necessarily put the name out there, but there are quite a few that I particularly recommend to my patients. They are indeed recommended by dermatologists, and there's one specifically on the market for our diabetic population and one specifically for eczema. So you can find that as an over-the-counter medication. Hope that helps.
And folks, 627-3223, 625-2257. Of course, WhatsApp number is 306-1065. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Of course, this is Men's Health Week, Health Month. So we're looking forward to questions from all the men. Let's get to some of the tips you have in your health. Plus, while we wait on some calls here, I'm seeing one, have regular checkups even if you feel okay. That is something that you tell Amanda that's like, you know, worse than...
But here's the thing. Let's make the reference. Mm-hmm. How often do we make sure our cars are checked up? You know, once you cross a certain amount of mileage, you are going to your mechanic to get it checked up. Why? Because you do not want the car shutting down. Right. How often do we rotate the tires? How often do we put that air in the tire? Because we do not want a flat tire. It's the same exact thing. But in fact, I think it's even more important, because this is our health. The day the health shuts down could be the last day.
Yeah.
So have regular checkups. And here's what. When I say regular, if you were to do it once a year, that's good enough if all is in order. If there's a family history, let's say there's a family history of prostate cancer, well, then you certainly know you need to be screened. Same thing. If there's a family history of diabetes, if one parent is diabetic, you have a 50% chance. if two parents are diabetic, your chances or your risk of becoming diabetic is 75%. What does that mean? You can get your blood sugars checked often, your HbA1c in particular. I do know males in particular, they do not like to go to the doctor, but why not be proactive instead of reactive? And that's the key underlying message.
All right, beautiful. Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. Is this the doctor program?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. But you don't have no WhatsApp. I could get you one because this is a card. I don't know nothing about plan and all that on phone, right? So I'm using a card right now to get on to the lunchtime doctor. If it have a WhatsApp number, I can call. I don't know.
No, sir. You cannot call the WhatsApp number because the doctor is on the line that we're using the WhatsApp. But you're on the line right now, so you can ask the question.
Yeah, you see, I wanted to talk concerning smoking. And you see, that thing you call smoking is so easy to stop. It's very easy to stop. It's a mind over matter business. That's a program you had last week.
That's right. It's a mind over matter.
Because I was a chronic smoker. And what do you think I did? I prayed to God and I knelt and I asked God to stop me from smoking. And today I am more than 20 years clean, don't smoke. And when I tell you smoke, I used to smoke cigarette, I smoke marijuana, I smoke cocaine, everything. And I just knelt and prayed to the Lord and asked the Lord. And if you like God, you will stop smoking. It's the same thing with drinking. It's God you have to like. And if you like God, you will stop all that.
All right, so thank you very much.
Thank you so much. So congratulations. 20 years not smoking after constantly smoking before is a great accomplishment. And yes, it is a behavior change, and we do have to set our mind to it. It is indeed a focused attitude that we would need. It's similar to writing an exam. If we don't prepare for the exam, we certainly know what the result will be. And in this case, you're preparing the mindset to stop smoking. So here we have a live testimony. Thank you so much, caller. We appreciate that call and feedback.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to your base. Good afternoon to your doctor. Doc, how exactly does medication work? I'm asking that in the context of sometimes you have a headache or sometimes you have a toothache and you just take a tablet that they recommend and everything just disappears. You know how exactly we can explain, although I have an idea, but if you can explain it from your terms, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Most definitely. Now, all medications work in a variety of ways. It's a pharmacological basis. So let's take the one that you mentioned, a headache. When one experiences a headache, the body releases certain neurochemicals. These medications now literally can go and block those pain receptors. So if it goes in, it's the same. It's like a piece. Think of it like a piece of a puzzle. So the same neurochemical that will be released in the body, that means the body is now experiencing pain. The medication has a same type of lock and key, a jigsaw. So if it comes into the nerves and locks into the nerve sensation, then the nerves are no longer feeling the pain. If the body now produces more pain neurochemicals that will overpower the medication, that's where the body feels the pain. If the medication is taken at the right time, notice when we prescribe something, we may say every 4 to 6 hours, or let's say a little one has fever, a constant medication that tends to be recommended, paracetamol. We would always say round the clock or on this time. So we want the fever medication to block the fever, the neurochemicals that are released. So it's really along the lines of thinking of a jigsaw puzzle. You have nerve receptors in the body. You can either experience the pain receptor or what the medication offer. Let's think about, we just went through COVID-19, and one of the medications that we were talking about constantly was the vaccine. That would have prevented the body or improved the strength of the immune system in terms of ensuring the body was protected. from this particular virus. That virus caused the body to produce something called immunoglobulins. So it's different types of medications. The immunoglobulins will now support the immune system. And that's how medications work. It's a lot of chemicals. It works with the nerve system. It works with all the major organs of the body. Different medications have different pathways. But if you want to think of it like a lock and key mechanism, I hope that explanation helps.
All right, good day, doctor. Why are some men so reluctant to get their vitals checked? And even when they are sick, they don't want to go to the doctor, right? Look, some men.
And that's exactly what we were talking about in our Guardian Health Plus. You see, there's this societal message, this masculinity, that men are taught that they're not supposed to express their emotions. They are taught to hide these emotions. And as a narrative, we have to change. It's so important that we let them know it's okay to seek help. It's okay. So why men don't like to go to the doctor, don't like to get a blood check? They don't like to admit something is wrong. They don't like to express when there's a problem. And this is not just me saying this. This is John Hopkins. This is Harvard Health. This is international bodies. So it's not only Trinidad and Tobago. However, what we are seeing, and that's why we're putting the spotlight today in your Guardian Health and on these programs, to just help our men ensure that it's okay that they can seek help. You see, they tend to avoid, they have poor health seeking behaviors, especially when it comes to their mental health. And in our publication today, we went through just about all of those factors. So to all who are listening, especially our male population, let's treat our bodies the same exact way you treat your car, or the same way you take care of your homes, or if it's those younger ones and they like their video games, the same way they'll take care of their PS4, PS5s. You treat it like gold. You treat it like your shrine. The same way we should treat our health and wellness.
All right, of course, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM, 627-3223 and 625-2257. Good day. I have a history of heart and cancer disease in my family. Is there a test of any kind that can be done to determine if you have any of these? Thank you.
Most definitely. So it always depends on the type of cancer. If it is ovarian cancer, we can check a marker called CA125. If it's male and it's prostatic cancer, we can check the PSA. If it's breast cancer, we have different screening methodologies. There is also ways to screen to prevent or identify early onset high blood pressure, as in hypertension, and early onset diabetes. So yes, there's pretty much a screening method, a screening methodology for about everything. And that's why we recommend just a checkup, a wellness checkup with your doctor.
Another question coming in here. Good day, Doc. I have two questions. What causes the leg calf pain? I drive from Arima to Port of Spain to work, sometimes Chaguanas. That's the first question.
So that calf pain can indeed be poor circulation. If it is you're having lengthy drives and the feet are in one position, it's not moving around, it can certainly be that. I don't know if you're also troubled by a high cholesterol, if your cholesterols are normal, if there's any sort of swelling on the feet, or if there's any sort of compromised cardiovascular system. But all of those together are triggers for that calf pain in particular. You want to ensure, and this is a big factor, especially in our humid population, dehydration and electrolyte imbalances are also key in managing or preventing that calf pain. Hope that answers your question.
And question number two, I am almost 55 and have some light spots on my legs. My daughter sometimes call it old age spots. What is it?
So those light spots on the skin can be a number of things. It can be something, a condition called vitiligo, where the skin is not producing enough melanin, or it may even be a fungal infection where there is indeed what we call, what we see quite often in our population, where there is a hypopigmentation of the skin. Either which way, make sure the skin is being properly moisturized. If the white spots persist, please get it checked out.
All right, folks, 627-3223, 625-2257. The lunchtime, Doctor, 1229 on time. Don't forget, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, we will be hosting from June 19th to the 25th for the Love of Country, a crime initiative exclusively on the station where talk matters, Freedom 106.5 FM. Good afternoon, Doctor. Is cayenne pepper with water okay to use for weight loss?
So cayenne pepper does have excellent antioxidant properties. Would you, when you're mixing it with water, it really depends on what your esophageal lining looks like. If it's one that, like in my case, where I have poor early eating habits, and I'm pretty certain there's an ulcer, you will not be having the cayenne pepper with the water, because that might burn the esophageal lining. Keep in mind, however, there are many persons that do engage or indulge in that the drinking of the cayenne pepper water. It's what we would call one of these Eastern Asian health fads. It does indeed help the digestive system in terms of producing enzymes within the stomach and eases that digestion. Keep in mind, if you're one with reflux, I won't recommend it. It may not be the best thing as the first thing in the morning, but it certainly does have a host of health benefits, because cayenne pepper is indeed one of those antioxidants that can be utilized in your food, in your in the preparation of the food, or even in preparation, as in this case, drinking with the water.
Phone lines. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, good day. I'm calling for a friend. This person had the cold like about 5 days. Not much coughing and sneezing, very little. And it started to get better. And now Saturday, the person, like a rash, just come out on the chest. So I'd like to know what is the cause of it. And this person had the 2 shots last year or year before, whatever. I listen to your new radio. Have a nice day.
Thank you so much for letting us know. Now, when a child, a pediatric case, has had a high fever and they do experience this rash, it is something of concern. It may be related to the medications, or it may be post-fever, they actually experience this overwhelming rash and they need to see a doctor. In a case like this, I won't be able to give a diagnosis because I'm not physically seeing the rash or being able to establish what's the cause. But please, I hope the family member, the friend, the loved one that you're calling on behalf, take the patient to a healthcare professional for a better, closer diagnosis. Hope that answers the question.
Let's get another call. Good afternoon. Welcome. Hello, good afternoon. All right, lost that one there. Hello, good afternoon. Lunchtime, Doctor.
Good afternoon. Calling from Pinal. Doc, I'm hearing people asking about individual items of food and so on. What I have done with that for myself, and of course, people who listen to me, I've made what I call my magic potion tea, where I have a list of everything that we make tea, local and imported, you know, everything from fever grass and ginger and this and cocoa and black chocolate and this, all and thing, including cardamom and black jeera and everything. And I put about 5, green tea, black tea, whatever, right? I put about 5 of them in a cup, and that's a cup of tea, and then I might add some water and heat it up again and drink that again. So the reason I limit to 5 is because now that's over the course of time you'll cover all of them, right, like in a couple days. And you mix and mingle according to whatever you feel like, and you can drink anytime during the day and whatnot. I go for flexibility and without having to consult my, you know, experts all the time. So I feel that kind of covers it in one way. And I also do that with my soups. I just train all the stuff that they say is good. And I go with that with whatever could make a salad out of that, whatever is available in my fridge. I go with that too. That's my approach. And if I think cayenne pepper is good, cayenne pepper goes in there too. I want to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you.
It's an excellent approach. And here's the why. Because one, you talked about utilization of salads, increasing the fiber. Nowhere in there did I hear anything about fried foods. So you're staying away from the unhealthy and you're incorporating the healthy. And yes, there's a host of natural products that we can add to the first drink in the morning. And it's not just cayenne pepper. The caller there mentioned garlic, mentioned utilization of lemon. All these things are great for our system. Everything in moderation, however, and of course, lean towards the healthy, nutritious, our fruits and vegetables that we can find. Stay away from processed high saturated fats and you'll have that healthy lifestyle output. Excellent advice there, caller.
All right, let's get another call. You're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
A very good afternoon to you, doctor. How harmful are prostate problems? Thank you.
So thank you so much. This is, I know, one of our frequent callers. So yes, to our male population out there, prostate cancer, prostatic benign hypertrophy are two very common problems. And here's the thing. Globally, something like 250,000 persons are diagnosed with prostate cancer every year. And it's considered the second leading cause of death. Yes. Prostate cancer is one of those causes that leads to more, takes away your mortality. How harmful? Terribly harmful, because it can affect life and complicate it in such a way that it can take away your life, your years. How harmful are some of the other conditions? That's why we continue to advocate for screening, advocate for early diagnosis, so that there isn't any sort of complications with life. Hope that answers the question.
Dear Doc, what supplements can you recommend for a surviving cancer patient?
Excellent question. Now, it really depends on which cancer first and foremost and what your general health and well-being is. If one is like just experienced chemotherapy, we'd want to make sure the immune system is supported. And that's where zinc comes into play. Sometimes we might need to recommend some of the vitamin B supplements, thiamine in particular. If it is, of course, say lung cancer, then it's a host of different medication. So or if it's a leukemia, we'd want to support the bone structure. We'd want to support the hematological structure. So that's where iron and vitamin C comes into play. So it really depends on which cancer it was. But again, let your healthcare professional give that guidance. For any patient who's been through cancer, there's a typical multidisciplinary team, and there's always a nutritionist as part of that team. Hope that answers your question.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, good day, doctor. Testing for prostate, which one is most efficient, physical or a blood test? Thank you very much.
Excellent question. One, I certainly would want to know first and foremost what's the family history, because that will give us a lot of information. Yes, the blood test is very diagnostic and we can rule out if there is any possibility of prostate cancer, prostate disease. However, in a physical examination, that's where we get to also include other aspects of your health, and a blood test cannot establish that. So my recommendation would be both. You want to get the history physical examination with the healthcare professional, and then the very next step would be the blood test. Hope that answers your question.
Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, doctor, try again. Doctor, why do elderly people fall down very easily? Why do elderly people fall down very easily? Thank you.
Now, we do see quite a number of falls in our elderly, because here's what: as they age, there is poor reflexes, they may not, their hearing, their eyesight may not be as sharp as when they were younger, or there may even be concerns with their balance. If one may have heart disease, if one has diabetes, or even thyroid conditions, you can lead, it can directly affect their balance, and that would lead to falls. So there's a host of other reasons, but these are the more common reasons. Hope that answers your question, caller.
And what if somebody who is not elderly is having a balance issue? Let me say, ever so often, you're just on the thing of balance. Is that something to worry about?
Definitely. So there's something called postural hypotension, as in, say someone is moving from standing to sitting, or sitting to standing, or lying to standing, and they're feeling dizzy. It may be their blood pressure is off. Any sort of dizziness, especially in young persons, because you're not supposed to be experiencing that, is a red flag. It may be directly related to the ear, nose, and throat, because within the middle ear, there's fluid that manages the balance. It's so important. If you're experiencing dizziness, if you're experiencing concerns with balance, that you get it checked out.
All right, here's somebody I think that needs to get checked out ASAP. Good day. What is the pain in the area I'm having at the back of the heart, and you feel a numbness and heaviness in the left arm?
So exactly as Bay said, those are red flags. If you are feeling heaviness in your left arm and you're feeling chest tightness or chest pain, please go straight to a doctor. Go straight to the health center. You know, when you're playing the game of the Monopoly and they say go directly to jail, do not pass go, just go straight. In this case, it's exactly that. And no, I'm not comparing the health center to jail, but go directly to the hospital, because in a case where the arm, the left arm in particular, is paining, that is one of the characteristics of heart attack type pain. So please, caller, whoever messaged in, I hope there's someone who can take you right away to the health center. Hope that answers your question.
All right, 20 minutes now before 1 o'clock. Once again, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Sophia Muhammad, on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. 627-3223, 625-2257, and WhatsApp us at 306-1065. Good day, doctor. How do you remove blackness from your toenails?
Interesting question. It may be a fungal infection. It definitely needs to be seen and treated. Or it may be because of the footwear, that there was some compression onto the nails, and sometimes there may be a small capillary bleed. So that blackness may be a hematoma. So it really depends on what caused that darkening color onto the toenail. And of course, what, ensuring you have proper footwear. So please get it checked out, and I'm certain it will get some resolution. Base, before we jump into our next question, I just want to dial back that last question, because it weighs heavily on my mind. Our Chuni population, they may get this chest pain, and the first thing they think about, oh
gas,
gosh, no, is gas.
I have gas.
Right? Please, we need to move away from this gas conception. Mm-hmm. No problem, you may have reflux. It could be indigestion, but let's just rule out anything more sinister. I often talk about one of our executives, his young son, age 34. He was driving and all he experienced was numbness in his left hand and dizziness. And that, those were the two signs of a precursor for a heart attack. Luckily, he made the right calls and literally in 36 minutes, he was in a health center. And unfortunately, his diagnosis was a heart attack, but there was treatment right away. I shudder to think if he ignored it or if he stopped at the side of the road and had probably a drink of water or a soft drink to help ease that gas and then continue driving. I shudder to think what could happen. Another case that comes to mind, and it's another young male, 36-year-old, active teacher, prominent school, went to the gym, and right after the gym, he came home and he was experiencing this chest pain. He thought he pulled a muscle. I mean, he just came back from the gym. Easy thing to assume. I asked him, check his blood pressure, and right away checked his blood pressure. It was high. 36 years old, he experienced a massive heart attack. We need to move away that it's only the elderly people experiencing heart attacks, or when we get chest pain, it is gas pain. It is across the board, young and old. We need to take better care of ourselves. Hope that is a message that everyone listens and shares to someone today.
All right, great. Good advice there, Doc. 627-3223. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, presenter, doctor. Pleasant good afternoon. Doctor, I have a question for you after what you have now shared here. Doctor, if your parents suffered from diabetes, also if they suffered from heart problems, what you could advise the child or the children from this parenting who is alive right now, maybe their parent may be deceased, but they had those complaints, and what you could advise us who are alive right now concerning this? Sounds like it.
Excellent question. So we just started that topic, that if your parent, if one parent is diabetic or hypertensive, you have a 50% risk. If both parents are diabetic or hypertensive, or both, you have a 75% risk. So one, once we know our risk, we know what our chances. 75% means that's a pretty high chance that you're going to develop it. And because both diabetes and hypertension are lifestyle diseases, it means our daily habits is what's going to dictate if we develop these lifestyle diseases. So it's exactly like what I've been talking about. You watch your sugars, limit it. Watch your salt, limit where possible. Definitely reduce the amount of process, reduce the amount of fats. So let me just talk about myself. I am very much at risk of breast cancer because my maternal aunt had breast cancer. So I know I have to get my checks. I know my female cousins have to get their checks. Those checks are the ultrasound, the mammogram. We know at certain ages as well, we are at a higher risk. Both my parents are diabetic and hypertensive. So I watch what I eat. I watch my stress levels. I make sure I engage in some level of exercise. If it's either resilience building, weight training, or just walking at least 3 times a week, I am engaged in at least 15 to 30 minutes of exercise. Yes, I'm a busy professional. I may not get time all the time. So if I get 15 minutes one day, then chances are the next time I'm going to lock in at least an hour. So you balance it. You know what your risk is. You incorporate the healthy habits. And most importantly, you do those checkups. That's what I would recommend to the caller. And I hope you took all of this advice and share it to someone as well.
All right, let's go. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, doctor. Is cayenne pepper the senior blood? I would like to know, please.
Great question. As far as I know, I would definitely need to do a little bit more research on if cayenne pepper thins the blood. I haven't quite seen that pop up as it being used as a blood thinner. What we do know is that it does help improve the digestive juices and it does reduce your blood pressure. But with respect to thinning the blood, I'm not 100% sure on that, but I certainly will do some research. huge. Tune in tomorrow again and we'll have that answer for you.
All right, another call coming in here. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Doc, Mr. Extremist again. I see myself as an extremist because people are very, very reluctant to say, this is where I am, this is where I need to be, and I'm going to take all measures in the extreme. So I like to take that approach. Of course, I never get it 100%, but just with that attitude, being a teacher, I tell the children, you know, you could get 100%. I see it happening sometimes. So I take that approach. Now, I'm hearing that, you know, if your parents had this or that, this is your percentage and whatnot. And then I'm hearing it's a lifestyle disease. So you have to move away. If your parents had it, you have to move away from whatever they were doing in their lifestyle and go to something better. So then those percentages fall down immediately. In one generation, you can destroy that argument that there's a solid connection, that if one parent had it or two had it or several members of your family had it, you know, that you have such and such a percentage. To a large degree, especially with diabetes, I know something about that, you know, there's so much you can do that I think it's kind of irrelevant if your parent had it or not. The question is how educated you have become in the subject and how much you are prepared to do. I'll take your comments. Thank you.
No, it's excellent what you just said there. Why we talk about the parents' history, because risk factors is important. Family history is important. But as you just said, so it's one leading into the other. One is risk factors and predisposition, and the other is the present tense, as in the lifestyle habits. And yes, this is why I take this much time in terms of educating our population in the paper, on TV, and right here on radio. Because knowing, having the knowledge means, once you utilize the knowledge, of course, means you can now better improve your health outcomes. So you're very correct. And I like the fact that you share that you do know from the lifestyle perspective, you can prevent the onset of diabetes. That is 100% true. Just by our lifestyle habits, what we eat, our exercise, managing our stress, avoiding smoking, avoiding alcohol, or at least in moderation, we can completely prevent the onset of diabetes and hypertension. And I want all of our callers to be aware of that. So thank you so much, caller, for bringing that forward.
All right, 9 more minutes to go. Let's see how many WhatsApp messages we could get through. Hi, doctor. My husband keeps getting a pain on the right side of his wrist area. What can be causing this pain? It's like a stabbing. He is 49 years old.
So any sort of pain, especially in the hands, it may be ergonomic in nature. I'm not too sure what his occupation is, but definitely, please get it checked out. That description, it's stabbing, mean it's certainly very disruptive. It may be nerve related. It may be directly related to the spinal cord. Please, let's make sure we get it checked out.
Good day, doctor. What are the signs of mold poisoning?
So one may definitely experience some sort of shortness of breath, sometimes with mold poisoning, or I'm thinking they're saying mold as in the mold that we see as in fungi, etc. One may even experience skin diseases with the presence of mold or respiratory type diseases. We haven't quite experienced anyone here in Trinidad with mold poisoning, but it certainly is around if there's an excessive amount of mold in a building.
All right, doctor, what causes lazy bowel movement?
So there's something called peristalsis. That is the movements of the bowel and the digestive opportunities, the digestive contractions of the bowel itself. So lazy bowel may be if one, the thyroid values, your thyroid hormones can be lower. So in a hypothyroid patient, they may have hypomotility. even if someone has an autoimmune disease, they may present with a lazy bowel. So there are few diseases that tend to present with a slower digestive process. The more common one right here in Trinidad is indeed thyroid disease. I hope if the call personal messaging, if there's any concern, they certainly get that checked out.
All right, doctor, is vitamin C with collagen 1,000 milligrams good to take every day?
So this is a question we get all the time. Vitamin C, yes, it is one that's recommended to help strengthen the immune system and a host of other factors. Whether you need to take it every day or not, I'm not a fan of any multivitamin every single day. It all depends on your nutrition. If you're getting your vitamin C from your fruits and vegetables, you can get vitamin C from tomatoes, from your citrus fruits. If you are, then you don't need to optimize with your multivitamins. If your nutrition is not adequate, then certainly you will need to optimize every day. So it really depends on what your other habits are.
All right, 6273-223-625-2257. WhatsApp 306-1065. You're listening once again to the Lunchtime Doctor today, Tuesday. All right, we can call there. Let's go to the WhatsApp.
As we're coming down to the last couple of minutes, I want to just bring forward the second page in our Health Plus, getting to the heart of the matter. You see, we have a number of men experiencing heart disease, and some of these heart risk factors identified today is stress. We talked about even low testosterone, and we talked about erectile dysfunction. In fact, one of the Johns Hopkins cardiologists shared that ED, erectile dysfunction, usually comes 3 years before a heart attack, making it a common first sign for men that they have heart disease. So yes, erectile dysfunction can be a precursor to heart disease, and it's because of the similarity of the organs, as in the heart and of course the male sexual organ. It is supplied by arteries and veins, so these vessels. So if there's a cholesterol deposit in the heart, chances are there can be a cholesterol deposit in the arteries across the body. So it's so important that you identify. And while it may be a very sensitive topic, there is a host of treatment for it. I want to jump into on this low testosterone because it's a serious heart risk factor. And here's some of the ways that unfortunately reduces testosterone in our body. Excess body fat. Anytime there's an increase in body fat, especially around the abdominal area, so we call that abdominal obesity, there's an increase in the production of female hormone, estrogen. If estrogen goes up, then the testosterone levels dip. If your testosterone levels dip, then obviously this now is a risk factor, not just for diminished sex drive, but also linked to developing heart disease and type 2 diabetes. So let's make sure to our male population, we're eating well, we're managing our weight, we're exercising. It not only is to improve your heart health, but it's also to improve all other bodily functions.
All right, great. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bis, and good afternoon to the doctor. Bis, I just want to mention to the doc that I'm 54 years old. And I'm not suffering with any major complications or anything like that, just minor aging. And I've been listening to the program as much as I could listen, and listen to all the complaints that we hear people coming in and asking for advice and things. I don't want to reach there. So I want to say thanks to the doctor that I have made certain changes and, you know, necessary lifestyle changes with the contribution that she's give. It is invaluable. I don't know who gesture it was to come up with this, if she's doing it on her own. And I just want to say thanks to her for the effort and the time and her knowledge and wisdom that she has imparted on the population if it's a goodwill gesture, she needs to be commended for that. I don't know why it has been given the wrong set of people awards in this country as usual. And I think it's something brilliant. She's worth every penny of the airtime. And thanks a lot. And I hope that this is continue, because I don't want to reach calling in to say, hey, Doc, I need your advice on this. So I have made the effort as much as I could. When she given her advice, to take the little, you know, whatever, and make the necessary lifestyle changes so that I wouldn't reach there. So, you know, I love prevention is better than cure. So thank again, Doc. It's brilliant. We appreciate it a lot. Have a good day. Take care.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day, sir. And thank you so much for the very positive feedback. This is an initiative, yes, of myself, but the entire TBC network, the Guardian Media team, the executive team, persons, incredible persons like our co-host here, Base, and of course the TBC network, Joel, Tovo, all of them. They all come together. We've crossed something like 500 programs. Yes, it's close to my heart in educating the population, and that's because I worked in the ICU. And when I say I worked in the ICU, that's the intensive care, and that's not now, that's before my little son was born. So more than 11 years ago, I'm in medicine for almost 20 years, and I saw way too much end of life. And I realized, I wished, not just realized, constantly in my mind, I would say, I wish I could have had that conversation with this person 2 years ago, 5 years ago. And believe it or not, God hears those wishes. And when the right persons come together, they make that come true. And now through this program, we have probably touched hundreds of thousands of lives. So I am eternally grateful to callers like yourself, our sponsors who make this happen, TBC Network, that bring this program to you all, our cherished listeners. And I can assure you, so long as I have life and breath, I will be here on this program, because it means a lot to me to connect with every single one of you every time I can.
All right, that's a great way to end off. We had some WhatsApps we didn't get through, but we'll try to get through with them tomorrow, right?
Definitely. Have a blessed day, everyone. Thank you so much, caller.
All right, thank you. Thank you, dear Dr. Safiya Mohammed. You've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5 FM, and, of course, Vibe City 105 FM. Do enjoy the rest of your day. Catch us tomorrow.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.